Good evening. Thank you for coming tonight. I'm so glad you're here. Young folks, thank you for coming. It's a joy to see you. I'm amazed when I go to places after places after places how you folks speak about young people today. To hear some folks talk, you'd think they'd just been invented. They've been around as long as I can remember, but I'm so glad that you've come, and thank you so much. And I'm glad that the rest of you are here. Now, I need to set the record straight. I said something this morning that was an error. I said to you, this was my fifth time to be with you in revival. It is my sixth time to be with you in revival. And so, if you are sick of me, then you'll at least begin to understand why. Take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 3. As you're turning there, now we're having noonday luncheons Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 12 o'clock. And we're going to eat right at 12 o'clock. And after we eat, Brother Keith's going to sing one song. And I'm going to bring a brief message. And then we'll wash dishes. Is that fair? All right. Young people, y'all in school this week? I'm so sorry. Just skip and come to the noonday revival. We'll give you a permission slip when you get here, and it's better to get forgiveness than permission anyway. Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. If you have found it, say amen. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. The life that we live is based upon how we answer questions earlier on in life. For example, what am I going to do in life? That's an important question. Am I going to be a lawyer, a doctor, a Indian chief, a butcher, a candlestick maker? What am I going to be? That's an important question. Some of us have already dealt with that. Some of you here at the front, you got to deal with that. Yeah. What are you going to do in life? Where are you going to go to school? Are you going to go to the Texas A&M or the University of Texas or the University of Alabama, the home of the Crimson Tide? So where are you going to go to school? That's an important question. Who are you going to marry? Oh, you better get that right or you're in store for a lot of heartache. But that's an important question. Where am I going to live? Am I going to live where I was born and raised, or am I going to move away and plant my life somewhere else? All of those are very important questions. But the two most important questions in life are these. Number one, who is Jesus? Who is he? And number two, what are you going to do with him? Now, you cannot answer the second question until you first answer the first question. You cannot decide what you're going to do with him until you come to grips with who he is. In these verses that I've read for you, there are three possibilities concerning that first question, who is Jesus Christ? And I believe these three are exhaustive. I don't think there are any more alternatives. You can lay awake all night long and think up all kind of stuff, but I think everything you think up will fit into one of these three. There are three distinct possibilities concerning who Jesus is. Look there again in verse 20. The Bible says, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread." Now they're in a house, and the house is jam-packed full. Now the reason the house is full is because Jesus is in the house. He had begun to draw great crowds everywhere he went. And so Jesus is in the house, and it is absolutely full. As a matter of fact, that verse says, there are so many people in the house, there's not room enough to lift up a piece of bread to your mouth and eat it. Now listen, if there are so many people in the house that you can't even lift up food and eat it, somebody needs to go home. That's too many people in the house. But not only were there people jamming in the house, there were people lined all around on the outside because Jesus was there. But now look at the very next verse. And when his friends heard of it, and you might want to underline that word friends, it's very important. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. They went out to seize him. They went out to take him by force. They went out to kidnap him and take him away, because they said he is beside himself. Now, what does it mean to be beside yourself? Well, it means your body is right here, but your mind has gone somewhere else. In other words, they said, Jesus has lost his mind. He has become mentally deranged. Now these were his friends. I told you to underline that. When your friends think you are crazy, you don't need a lot of enemies. They thought he had lost his mind. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you think that Jesus Christ suffered some kind of a nervous breakdown or an emotional upheaval, but something happened in your life or in Jesus' life that caused him to lose his mind? How many of you believe that? Nobody. But before you make that decision, you need to think about some of the things Jesus had been saying. First of all, Jesus said, "I have come from another world." In John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to a group of Pharisees. And he said, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Jesus said, "I came from another world." Now suppose I'm in Walmart, over in the grocery section, and I'm standing at the shelves that have all the cookies on them, and I'm looking at double stuffed Oreos and chocolate chip cookies, and somebody comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and I turn and I see this fella, and he looks at me and says, "Sir, I want to tell you, I came from another world." Now, what do I think about that guy? Well, I'm from Alabama. I'll tell you what I think about him. I think he's nuts. "Man, what do you mean you've come from another world? Get out of here. I'm looking at cookies. I ain't got time for you." If But that's exactly what Jesus said. I'll tell you something else Jesus said. Jesus said, I lived before I was ever born. He said that. He was preaching one day and there were some hecklers in the crowd. And the heckler said to him, hey, we're the children of Abraham. And Jesus said, you're not his children. Because if you were his children, you would honor me. Because when Abraham saw me, he honored me and loved me. Now, Abraham had been dead over 1,500 years. And they said to Jesus, well, you're not even 50 years old. Hey, they were right. He wasn't even 35 years old. How can a man who is less than 35 years old have seen and talked with a man who had been dead 1,500 years? Jesus said, I lived before I was ever born. Now, suppose I'm in Walmart. And I've moved over to the candy section. And I'm looking at Butterfingers and Baby Ruth and Snicker Bars. And somebody comes up and taps me on the shoulder. And I look at this fella and he says, sir, I want to tell you, I lived before I was ever born. Now, what am I going to think about that guy? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to think. I think he's nuts. What do you mean you live? Man, I'm looking at candy. Get out of here. But that's exactly what Jesus said. I'll tell you something else Jesus said. Jesus said, when you look at me, you are looking into the face of God. He said that. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, suppose I'm standing in Walmart, and I've moved over to the ice cream section. And I'm looking at vanilla and strawberry and butter pecan. Oh, my. And somebody comes up and taps me on the shoulder, and I turn to look at this fella, and he says, sir, when you look at me, you're looking into the face of God. Now, what do I think about that guy? You know what I think about that guy. I think he's nuts. His elevator may go to the top, but the door never opens. He's a nut. But that's exactly what Jesus said. I'll tell you something else Jesus said. Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and on earth. Not some of it, not most of it. He said, I have all power in heaven and on the earth. Now suppose I'm standing in Walmart and I have moved over to the deli counter. And I'm looking at pimento cheese and chicken salad and sliced ham. And somebody taps me on the shoulder and says, sir, I want to tell you, I have all power in heaven and in earth. Now, what do I think about that guy? I think he is nuts. He's crazy. He's out of his mind. But that's exactly what Jesus said. I'll tell you something else Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the only way to heaven. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. I'm the only way to heaven. That's what he said. Now suppose I'm standing in Walmart and I've moved over to the bakery section and I'm looking at donuts and bear claws and birthday cakes and somebody comes up and taps me on the shoulder and says, sir, I want to tell you I am the only way to heaven. You know what I think? I'm going to start shopping at Brookshire's. Every nut in the world goes to Walmart. I'm out of there. But that's exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came from another world. I lived before I was ever born. When you look at me, you're looking into the face of God. I have all power in heaven and in earth. I'm the only way to heaven. He said every one of those things. And so when these people who cared about him, when they loved him, his friends, when they heard the bizarre things he had been saying, they came to the conclusion he has lost his mind. He is beside himself. He is deranged mentally. And so that's one option. There are some people who think Jesus was just a crazy man, and that's an option. There's a second option found. Look there with me, if you will, in verse 22. And when the scribes which came down from Jerusalem, now you might want to underline that, the scribes which came down from Jerusalem. Now these were not his friends. These were some of his most bitter enemies. The scribes from Jerusalem absolutely hated Jesus. They despised him because he had turned their world upside down. He had exposed them, many of them, as being the frauds and the hypocrites that they were. Oh, there were scribes everywhere. But these scribes which came down from Jerusalem, now they were really big shots. They were some body. And if you had any question about whether they were somebody or not, all you had to do was ask them and they'd tell you how big of somebodies they were. Oh, they had their turbans and their robes and they marched in cadence and they were impressive to look at, but they hated Jesus. And they had a problem. They had a dilemma. They could not deny that Jesus was doing miraculous things. Because every miracle Jesus did, he did out in the open, in public. The Apostle Paul said of the Christian faith, he said, hey, this thing was not done in a corner. When Jesus healed the sick, there were other people who saw him do it. When Jesus walked on the water, there were people that saw him do it. When Jesus raised people from the dead, there were people who saw him do it. And if the scribes had said, he's not a miracle worker, he can't do it, it's all trickery, it's all fake, it's fraud. Well, the people would have laughed them back to Jerusalem because the people knew better. They had seen Jesus perform the miracle. So here's what they said. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, this man Jesus, oh, he's working miracles. He really does walk on the water. He really does heal the sick. He really does calm the storm and still the sea. But what he does, he's not doing it under the power of God. He's doing it under the power of the devil, Beelzebub. He is demonic. He is filled with demons. He is demonic. And so that's what some people say. They say Jesus was not of God. He was of the devil. And every word he said, everything he did, he was inspired by the devil to do it. Jesus heard them say that. He overheard them. And he called them over to himself. And he said to them, hey guys, you're nuts. He said, I haven't come to be in league with the devil. I've come to destroy the works of the devil. The devil and I are not on the same team. He said, don't you understand if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand? And America better learn that pretty quick. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan is divided against himself, Satan cannot stand but hath an end. Jesus said, I am not for him nor with him. I am against him and I will defeat him. But there's an option. Who is Jesus? Well, some say he's deranged, he's crazy. Some say he's demonic, he's of the devil. But there's a third option right here in these verses. Look there with me, if you will, in verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Now remember, he's speaking in parables. That's what he said right there in those couple of verses before that. You remember this morning I told you some of the parables were long, some were short. Well, these are little short parables. In this little parable, Jesus talks about a strong man. And the strong man in this parable is the devil himself. He's picked up on what these scribes have been talking about. The strong man is the devil, and the strong man's house is this world. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said, the devil is the god of this world. Folks, there are more people in America and around the world who worship the devil than worship Jesus Christ. The devil is the god of this world. And so he's the strong man. Planet Earth is his house. But Jesus said, no man can enter into the strong man's house except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And that word spoil means to take things out of his house. And so who entered into the house of Satan and bound him and took things from him? I tell you who did. A stronger man. A stronger man. Years ago, I was pastor at the First Baptist Church in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, the town where I live now. And every summer, we rented the football stadium and we had a starlight crusade. We brought in famous personalities to draw a crowd and they would share a testimony and then I would preach and would give an invitation. We saw hundreds of people saved during those years when we had those starlight crusades. And we brought in some pretty famous people. Now, a lot of them wouldn't be known today very much, but they were known back then. We brought in Kim Fields. She played Tootie on The Facts of Life. We brought in Dale Evans, who was Roy Rogers' wife. We brought in Rosie Greer. We brought in Meadowlark Lemon from the Harlem Globetrotters. We brought in Lulu from Hee Haw. And we brought in a number of people like that. But the guy we had who drew the biggest crowd, the mouth of the South, Jerry Clower. And Jerry Clower was such a, we filled the football stadium when he came, and so we had him come back a second time, and he filled the stadium again. He said something I will never forget. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you tonight, the devil is mighty. The devil is mighty. But Jesus is almighty. Oh, the devil is a strong man, but Jesus is a stronger man. And Jesus left heaven and came to the earth. He entered into the strong man's house and he bound the strong man and took things out of his house. What did he take out of the house of the devil? You and 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 me. If you've been saved by the grace of God, it's because Jesus came and lifted you out of the house of the devil. There was a day when Satan had a chain around your neck, and when he jerked, you jumped. You were not free. You were not totally a person of independence. You were owned lock, stock, and barrel by the devil. He had you in his grasp, and he would have led you into hell forever and forever, except that Jesus came and bound him and rescued you and saved you by grace. And so, how could he do that? He could do it because he is divine. He's God. He's not like God. He is God. That is the very heart of the Christian faith. If you boil all that Christians believe down into one central truth, Christians believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's why we have missionaries scattered all over this world to tell people that Buddha is not God and Muhammad is not God. Jesus alone is God. He is divine. He is divine. And so who is he? Well, I've given you the three options and I promise you they're not anymore. Either he is deranged, or he's demonic, or he is divine. Now you have to make that decision yourself. I can't make that for you. I made it for me. But you have to make that for yourself. Now, if you have decided who he is, what are you going to do with him? Well, if you think he is deranged, just ignore him. Just ignore him. I pastored at Kirby Woods Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for 20 years, a large church. We ran over 2,000 every Sunday. Great, great church. In Memphis, there are a lot of people that shop at Walmart. One day I had been downtown visiting in hospitals and was on my way back to the church. I'd stopped at a traffic light because it was red. And that's what you do in Tennessee. You stop when it's red. I looked over on the sidewalk and there was a guy over there. And I mean, this guy was berserk. I'd never seen a guy like that. He was cussing. I've heard cussing before, but I'm telling you, he's putting it together different than I'd ever heard. He was cussing and spitting and swinging his fist and kicking and gouging. And I thought, my God, he's killed somebody. And I looked up to see if I could see who was laying on the pavement. And there wasn't anybody. And this guy just kept on cussing and punching and kicking. And you know what he was? You know who he was fighting? The light pole. And I want to tell you, I didn't feel any urging to get out and help him. I thought the light pole could defend itself. If you think Jesus is deranged, just ignore him. Pay no attention to him. If you think he's demonic, avoid him. Stay as far away from him as you possibly can. If you think Jesus is of the devil, I would encourage you, don't ever read the Bible again. Don't ever come to church again. Don't ever mention his name again. If you think Jesus is of the devil, just stay as far away. Avoid him completely. I want to share with you something, and I don't mean to be unkind, but now hear me. Most Christians today are totally unprepared to deal with demons. Demons are very, very, very real. But most Christians today just are not spiritually mature enough and prepared enough to deal with them. And so I encourage you, if you think Jesus is of the devil, avoid him at all cost. But if you say, now, Brother Bob, I don't believe Jesus was crazy, and I don't believe he was of the devil, then there's only one option left. He must be God. He must be divine. And if he is, you should receive him into your heart and honor him and love him and serve him for the rest of your life. And so, what's it going to be? Who is he? Is he deranged? Ignore him. Is he demonic? Avoid him. But if he is divine, receive him into your heart. We have folks here tonight who are children. We have some here tonight who are teenagers. And we have adults of all ages here. If you've never been saved, tonight is your night. There's never been a better time to be saved than tonight. Would you bow your heads, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody's looking. I want to ask you now, and while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you could raise your hand and say, Brother Bob, I know for sure, that Jesus Christ lives in my heart. I know that I'm saved. If I were to die tonight, I would go to heaven. Would you raise your hand if that's your testimony? Thank you. God bless you. And I believe you. I really do. There were a number of hands that were raised. But there were also some hands that were not raised. And those of you who did not raise your hands, I want to thank you for being honest. But the reason you did not raise your hand is not because you're honest. It is because God would not let you. If you did not raise your hand, that's the best sign that I know that God is speaking to your heart right now. I'm a preacher. I can get in your ears, but only God can get in your heart. And if you did not raise your hand, God's in your heart right now. God loves you. You know He's not crazy. You know He's not of the devil. You know that Jesus is God in the flesh, and He wants to save you. When He died on the cross, He died for you. If you had been the only person on earth, He would have died just for you. That's how much He loves you. And He wants to give you everlasting life. And He will, if you'll invite Him into your heart. If you did not raise your hand, and you're ready to do business with God tonight, why don't you pray something like this? You don't have to pray out loud. God hears your heart. And you don't have to say exactly the same things that I say, but I want to help you know how to talk to the Lord if you've never been saved. But if you did not raise your hand, why don't you pray something like this from your heart to Him? Dear God, I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. As best I know how, tonight, I turn away from sin. God, please forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Lord Jesus, I believe You died on a cross for me. I believe You were buried in a tomb, like the Bible says. And I believe You rose from the dead and that You're alive tonight. Lord Jesus, I need You in my life. I want You in my life. Please come into my heart and save me right now. I give You myself. Our heads are bowed, nobody's looking. And I've been here many times. You know I will not expose anybody. I will not point you out. I will not come back to where you are. I won't even speak to you after the service unless you come to me. But I wonder if there's some here. And you'd say, Brother Bob, I did not raise my hand a moment ago. But I did pray as you prayed. I asked God to forgive me of my sins. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Brother Bob, I did it. I did it and I really, really meant it. I wasn't playing. I did it. And I meant it. Nobody's looking. Our heads are bowed. But just so I'll know, if there's anybody here who prayed and asked the Lord to save you tonight, would you just put your hand right up? Just lift it right up and I'll see it. And you can put it back. God bless you. Somebody else, God bless you. Someone else. Brother Bob, tonight I ask Jesus to come into my heart. Anyone, anywhere, just put it right up and put it right back down. All right. Now would everybody look right here at me, please? Just look right here at me. I saw two tonight that told me, Brother Bob, tonight I ask Jesus to come into my heart. And I want to say to those of you who did that, you've done a good thing. Hear me? You did a good thing. You let me know, and you don't even know me. I mean, you've never even met me. I'm a perfect stranger, and you let me know. I asked Jesus into my heart. I wish everybody in the house knew about you what I know about you. I could tell them, because I still remember where you're sitting. But I promised you I wouldn't, and I won't. But there are people sitting around you who care about you, and they've probably been praying for you. And I sure wish they knew what I know. And you can let them know. And the easiest way to do it, in a moment we're going to stand and we're going to sing. The pastor is going to be standing right here. And those of you that said, yes, I asked Jesus to save me tonight, I hope that the minute we stand, you won't even sing a word. You'll just move right toward him and tell him, Pastor, I accepted Jesus tonight as my Savior. Now listen to me. Nobody here is going to laugh at you. You hear me? Nobody's going to make fun of you. Everybody in this house will be so happy for you. And the reason is because there was a day when we did the same thing. We asked Jesus into our life, and we went forward to let folks know, I've given him my life. I've been saved. It won't hurt. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. Nothing to be afraid of. And you'll be very glad that you did it. Will you do it? I pray God will give you the strength to just step out. You're in a house of love and a house of friends. You come, will you? Are you ready? We're fixing to stand. And those of you that just received Christ, you just come right on. Don't wait. You give the devil a second, he'll take a lifetime. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's stand.